First Thessalonians chapter 5, let's turn our Bibles there. By the way, does anybody know what that is up on the screen? Well, it looks like a strawberry, doesn't it? We are going to have, tomorrow night, a strawberry moon on the summer solstice. Only happens every 70 years. Happens once in a lifetime for everybody. A full moon, which they call the strawberry moon. They call it strawberry moon because now it's strawberry picking time. Okay? Why is that? Why is that? Because God said, I'll wait and get into the lesson. Okay? Then let's pray. Let's pray for Paige and Matthew, and let's pray for her family. Her birth mom is very, very lost. She's a very, very bad woman. Okay? You're not too bad for God to save. Amen? So, Lazarus was not too dead for Jesus to raise him back to life. So just remember that, all right? Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house tonight. I thank you, God, for the peace that we have that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless Paige and Matthew. Lord, we thank you for bringing Paige into our lives. And Lord, for blessing our son with her. Lord, she's been a good wife. I pray, Lord, that you would just give her help and encouragement, Lord, in this time. This is very, very confusing time for a young lady. And Lord, she's betwixt emotions right now. And pray, God, Lord, that you would get her settled and give her the Holy Spirit and give her comfort from her husband and from her family here at this church. And Lord, from your word, I pray that you'd bless her. Lord, there's many in her family that are lost. They need to be saved. And Lord, they're very evil people. And I pray, God, that you would break through that. Lord, we just pray for our enemies. We pray for those who need Jesus. And we ask you, God, to save them. That'll fix their problems. And Father, we just ask, God, that you just bless in that situation. Father, we ask, Lord, tonight that you be with our children, Lord, at camp. Father, watch over them. Keep them all safe. And bless them, Lord, as they hear the word preached, as they are taught the word from day to day. Lord, just bless them and bring them back better than they were when they left. Father, we pray for Brother Phil and Sister Melissa. Say, labor with them, Lord. Give them grace. Give them wisdom, Father, Lord. And bless their authority over them. Lord, bless the preaching and teaching of your word tonight. I pray, dear God, that you would fill us with knowledge and give us understanding, Lord. Lord, there's just something about studying your word that sometimes, Lord, we don't understand why we know it. But Lord, you bring all these things to mind one of these days, and we thank you for it. So Lord, just bless your word tonight. Fill us full of knowledge. Give us understanding according to your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me tell you what that is. They call it a strawberry moon because, number one, it's when that moon is full this time of year, and it usually falls on a different date because the moon goes in a little bit different cycle than the year does. But anyway, this year it happens to fall upon the summer solstice. I'll go back over that here in just a minute because it's relevant. But anyway, strawberry moon is, they tell you now is the best time to start picking strawberries. This is when they start coming in. This is when they're ripe. And I want you to think about that. Because God tells us back in Genesis chapter 1 that when He made the sun, the moon, and the stars, He made the lights and put it. By the way, God had already put light on the earth. For 3 days, there was light on the earth. Where did it come from? Okay? There was no sun, there was no moon, there was no stars. That didn't show up until day 4. That must have been the light of God. Amen? Okay? We're going to talk about that tonight. But anyway, He made those things and He said, let them be for signs. And I believe in that. For seasons. And so we measure the seasons by the sun, the moon, and the stars. And for days and for years. That's how we measure time. It's by those luminaries up in the sky. We measure time by the sun. It's rising and setting. We measure months by the moon. In fact, the word moon and month, same root. Okay? So anyway, that's how we measure things. But you talk to old people that planted gardens, planted farms, they'll tell you we do these things by the sign. In fact, I was looking at the Farmer's Almanac today online. There's a copy online. It was telling you, now's the best time to be doing this. Now's the they'll tell you what days would be the best days to fish. And they're doing that because of the signs that are given to us by the luminaries up in heaven. So it's going to be a full moon tomorrow night. And that lands on what will be the longest day. There's going to be 17 hours of daylight. Jared's boss will probably have him working 16 of them. The sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. The sun's going to come up 4:45 a.m. That's stinking early. Amen? That's earlier than what I get up. Okay? But anyway, why is it that way? But anyway, this strawberry moon on the summer solstice, they say it's once every 70 years. This is the only time we'll see it in our lifetime. It'll be for the next generation to come around, all right? Let me explain the summer solstice. Let me just kind of go back. Went over this a few Sunday nights ago, probably a couple months ago. But anyway, along with the sun rising and setting every day, rising in the east, setting in the west, it also rises and sets south to north and back south again, and it takes a whole year to do this. So from starting from tomorrow, the sun is going to be directly over the Tropic of Cancer, which is this line right here. It kind of passes between Florida and Cuba, goes through Mexico, goes through Baja California there. Tomorrow, if you were to go down to the Tropic of Cancer and look straight overhead at exactly noon, the sun would be directly over your head in that spot at that time. Okay? It's not like that any other day of the year. Because after tomorrow, the sun is going to start its migration back down from the Tropic of Cancer down to the equator. So in fall, September 21st, the sun will be directly overhead at noon on the equator. And then December 21st, it'll be directly overhead in the Tropic of Capricorn. That's December 20. That's why. See, now notice the sun's rays in December are going to be concentrated on the southern hemisphere. This is why that our day, December 21st, is the shortest day. This is why it's cold. This is why it's dark. This is why the sun, you can even tell, you can tell by the shadows during the day that the sun is in a lower point in the sky than it is right at midsummer, which is right now. I mean, that sun is high and it's shining in its strength and it's, I mean, just almost straight overhead. But in the wintertime, if you'll notice around December and January, that thing, when it rises, it goes down east to west, it's at a lower point in the sky. We don't get very much sunlight. Now, God designed all of that. He designed every bit of it. It is for a reason. It is for a sign. It is for a season. It is for a day and for years. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, where am I? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5, here we go. He said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, I'm not going to continue reading that, but he mentions the times and the seasons. And we have been given the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, I left off when we were talking about Jesus. In Matthew 17, he comes down, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration, and what happened to his face? It was shining like what? The sun. Well, that matches Malachi chapter 4, where it says the sun, and it capitalizes the letter S there in the King James. The sun of righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And what Jesus was doing in Matthew 17 was he was showing that transformation of him becoming the sun of righteousness. And what happened on Sunday morning, very early in the morning, at about the time the sun was going to rise, 3 days after he was killed on the cross, what happened on that morning? The Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. Now he's risen back from the dead, and he is the light of the world. Isn't that neat? Somebody say amen. So look at all these verses here in the Bible where it talks about, a lot of these are in the Psalms. I was amazed at how much of this is in the Psalms. And I want you to think about Jesus and his faith shining in the sunlight. We'd rather be in the light than we would be the darkness. Can I hear you say amen? Because here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul's telling us we are children of the day. We're not children of the night. They that be drunk are drunken in the night. There, God is going to pour out a spirit of darkness and a spirit of drunkenness upon this earth. I was sharing with John and Chris there in the hall, in the foyer there, that God is going to send a strong delusion to this world. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of men. He's going to send a strong delusion that they believe a lie. God's people who know something from this Bible are going to say, you know what? I'm not falling for that lie. Now, here's something I know. I do not know what the face of the Antichrist is going to look like. I've never seen it before. But I know for a fact, when I see it, I'll know who it is. Number one, Deuteronomy 28 talks about a nation of fierce countenance. Number two, Daniel mentions a king of fierce countenance. A dark, and he's gonna understand dark sayings. Think about that. That is the opposite of what the Bible is. The Bible is full of light in what it says. Does that make sense to everybody? The Antichrist is always going to be the opposite of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what he looks like, but I promise you, God has given us a little bit of knowledge out of our Bibles so that if we are alive on that day and we see this thing, we are going to go, that's the Antichrist. That's the man of sin, the son of perdition. How do you know? I know it because of the Word of God. Okay? Do you think we'll recognize the real Jesus? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll know who that is. Nebuchadnezzar knew. Amen? He knew who that was in there. He said, the fourth looks like the Son of God. How did he know what the Son of God looks like? Must have been something in him that just knew it when he saw it. I've never seen him before, but I can tell you that that is. John the Baptist had never seen Jesus a day in his life. And when Jesus came, John the Baptist knew exactly who he was. Amen? Now, here's what this may be boring to people. Because I'm going through the Bible and I'm teaching about the sun and the moon and the stars and how the Bible talks about all those things. And there's things about this that I'm not understanding why these things are all in the Bible. But I know they're there for a reason. And I know that God's going to put them into our mind and our heart. And on a certain day, we're going to see something and we're going to go, I know exactly what that is. Do you remember the disciples after Jesus rose from the dead? When Peter and John came back and said, that tomb is empty. He's not there. Wonder what happened to him. They all started reasoning among themselves and they went, you know what? He told us that he would be hung on the cross, lay in there 3 days, and on the third day he would rise from the dead. You see, they had that knowledge. Jesus had told them to it. But they didn't know what it was for. They didn't know what it was about. So they just kind of stuck it in their mind somewhere. And on the day that it actually happened, see, prophecy is usually best seen after it happens. Because all through the Gospels you'll see, and this is that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. This was that which was spoken by the prophet. This is that which was spoken here. Paul filled Hebrews with Old Testament scriptures. This is that which was a foreshadow of this. And so what we're doing is we're studying the Bible. We're getting knowledge in our minds. What's it for? Number one, I think it's interesting. I think it's neat how God designed everything and what all the scientists and the astrologers and the astronomers say they see. I can see something completely different in the Word of God. And I believe this book. Okay? But I think one of these days, we're all going to see something. We're going to go, I know what that is. Okay? And you may not make it to the appearing of the Son of Man coming in the clouds. You may die before then, but I promise you there's going to be a day in your life when something is going to come at you or come to you, and you're going to know it because God had your nose in a Bible one day reading it and you didn't understand it. It was just stuck in your brain and then you saw it for real. How many have ever had that happen before? Say amen. Listen, that's how God works. So let's look at God's face. Psalm 31:16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Think about Jesus coming and his face like the sun. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Psalm 67:1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Psalm 80:3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. Now think about how they're connecting things here. If God's face shines on you, he's going to save you. Amen. So would you ever want a time when God's face didn't shine on you? Psalm 119:135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Now he's connecting it with the Bible. See, when you're reading the Bible, the faith of Jesus Christ, it's like, the older I get, you know what I'm learning? Light. There's never enough light in the room for me anymore. Okay? That is just something strange. I've never encountered that. I've lived in the same house now for over 20 years, and for y'all years, all the light in the house was fine to me. Now it's not enough. When I sit down to read, I need more light down on what I'm looking at. And then I've got that little narrow space in my glasses where I gotta do that. I always wondered why Sterling did that. Now I know. But I need more light. When I read, I want light to be shining on the page that I'm reading from. And when you read the Bible, Jesus is going to shine His face down on you while you're reading it so He can teach you His statutes. I'm not your teacher. I'm not the man who can open the book for you. Jesus Christ is the one who does that. I'm just here to awaken you to the Word. I'm just here to throw it out there. Jesus is the one who shines His face down while you learn His Word. Now look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's shined away. Psalm 34, 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's almost like Peter was quoting Psalms. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Psalm 10:11, He hath said in His heart, God hath forgotten, He hideth His face, He will never see it. And that is what most lost people think. Since God has not shining His face upon them, they're in darkness, and they think that God cannot see their deeds. Last week, see how well you've studied, John. John said, I'm learning about the New World Order. You know about the Bilderbergs, right? Okay, he's been studying that. All of these world leaders, all of these very rich businessmen, all of these very powerful media moguls, all going to Dresden, Germany, and they do this every year at this time of year, and they called it the Bilderberg meeting because it started in the Bilderberg Hotel, wherever that was, some 70, 80 years ago, something like that, and they've been doing that ever since. These people, even though members of the press are invited to this meeting, they are you don't ask to go to this meeting. You get asked to go. And when they go to this meeting, they're told, not a word, whatever you hear inside these walls never leaves these walls. Okay? Now, what goes on inside those meeting places? I don't have the first clue. But any time there is a gathering of people and they seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, God is always there. And He hears every word and He knows the thoughts and intentions of every heart there. I don't trust powerful people who meet in secret. I think it's contrary to a free society. That's what John Kennedy said, by the way. John Kennedy used those exact words. Secret meetings are not they don't go with a free society. But I don't have to worry about it because God knows what they said and God knows what they're doing, and I'm pretty sure that what they're doing is already in this book. Amen? Let's see here. Psalm 13:1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? I'm sure you've felt that way before. God's got His face hid from me. Psalm 30, verse 7. Lord, by Thy favor, Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. Psalm 44, 24. Wherefore hidest thou Thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression. Psalm 69, 17. Hide not Thy face from Thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. And what you're seeing on this page are verses that say, when God's face is not shining on you, you're in trouble. You're in bad shape. You need God to shine back on you. Think about the difference then. Remember, Jesus' face shines like the sun. So think of the earth. There's part of us in this world that are in absolute darkness right now. They're on the other side of the world. They're just waiting for the day to dawn. They're waiting for the light to shine so they can get up and go to work, so they can go about their things. We want the light to shine. If you find yourself in darkness, God will shine the light on you one of these days. Somebody say amen. So he said in Psalm 88:14, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Psalm 102:2, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. When we get afraid, we want God to turn the light on. Psalm 143:7, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into where? The pit. I've been down in that pit before. I don't like it. I don't want to go back. So I want God to shine His face. I want God to shine the light of His countenance on my life to show me where I'm going wrong, what I'm doing wrong, where I need to be. Think about in the old days when people used to walk from house to house, walk miles from one place to another, and they would do that at night and the lantern went out. No city lights. I mean, we've got it. We're spoiled. I've flown over this country at night. There's lights everywhere. But not so long ago, our grandfathers and grandmothers, they didn't go out much at night. Couldn't see. Too much to be afraid of. They didn't like it. So they stayed in where the light is. We want the light to shine in our lives. Thy Word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, the Bible says. So he says, lest I be like them that go down into the pit, which is hell. God, you better shine your light in my life. Show me where I am. Show me where I'm going. Show me where the danger is, God. Show me what's wrong with my life. Okay? Psalm 22, verse 24. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. I like this. This is what I tell people whenever they are feeling troubled, whenever they feel like God has moved from them or God is angry with them, or they feel like maybe they're just very distant from God and they're very concerned about issues of life and they're not sure how to reach God. And I've heard teachings on the internet, on YouTube. I've heard people talk about, and usually it's some sort of ritual, some sort of name you've got to call out, some sort of thing that you've got to have anointed on you or whatever in order to get God's attention. And I'm telling you, the cry of His little children is what gets God's attention. It's just like the cry of that baby back there. Just like Chris was in my office earlier getting coffee and she sat down for a minute. She said, baby's crying. Up and down she went. Okay? She knows. Her baby, Levi, did not have to utter her name correctly. Did not have to face north, south, east, and west, did not have to perform, do hand gestures, did not have to say long prayers, just cried. Look at that verse again. Okay? Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. God will always hear the cry of His people. Always. Your problem is you don't cry often enough. Amen? Psalm 24:6, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face. I like that. The eyes are in the face. And when Noah needed grace in his life, he went looking for it. And when he went looking for it, he found it. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found it in God's countenance, God's face. Psalm 27:8, when Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, take these two verses right here. Jot them down somewhere. Maybe make a little note. And when things are going very well in your life, read these verses and say, God, this is what I want. Because God, even though things are well for me right now, I know that the darkness is going to come back in. I know it will, because it always does. And when I get there, God, I want you to remember my cry unto you when things were going well. And that was, leave me not, neither forsake me. God, you be my help. I've done that. In fact, sometimes I make it a habit when things are going really well and I'm feeling really good, I'll know in my mind that it's not going to stay that way. And I'll say, God, while I'm feeling good, I want you to remember this. Don't let go of me no matter what. Don't go away from me. Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn me over to a reprobate mind. Because God, I know me. And I know just as surely as the sun rose, that sun's going to set and I'm going to be in darkness again. It happens every day. It happens every year. It happens every month. God, I know how it works. So God, while I'm near to you, you listen to me. When I'm far away, don't let go of me. Don't hide your face from me. God, you keep me in such a time as I'm not able to keep myself. You see, saved people will pray that kind of prayer. Amen? God's real people will pray those kind of prayers. I like that. Psalm 4, verse 6. There may be many... What happened? What did I do? I erased the entire internet. Oh, there it is. Psalm 4, verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon me. Notice how he, again, we're back to God's countenance and it's full of light. And again, I've never seen Jesus and we don't have the Antichrist revealed to us yet. We don't know who that is. But I am 100% sure that there's going to be a difference in how they look. It's going to be a difference in their countenance. You remember, Jared, you remember the first time you met Brady and Bradley? I couldn't tell them apart to save my life. I met them, first time I ever met them at their house. They were both 16 years old. And I knew I'd talked to one on the phone and then the other. But then I saw them together and I said, okay, who's who? And then they both worked at McDonald's at the same time, which didn't help things. And I'd go to McDonald's and one of them would come up to me and I'd be looking for the name tag. Hey, Brady? Now, after a while of looking at them, you could do what their mama could do from birth. She knew the difference. You look at them for a little while and then you go, okay, I know who you are and I know who you are. Because there's a difference in them. Okay? And I'm telling you, I don't know how it's all going to come down. But I think a lie is going to be told. And God's people, with just a little bit of knowledge of His Word, is going to be able to look at that and say, that is a lie. That is not Jesus. That is not God. That is not whatever they say it is. That is not who that is. Okay? So you keep packing that. You keep reading this Bible. You have no... We used to complain, Ryan, when we was in school and they made us do algebra. And they made us do all this stuff with geometry and all that junk. And we'd say, I'll never use this in life. You pack that stuff in. You have no idea what you're going to run into in life. Amen? Amen. So that's the point of this right here. All right? Light of thy countenance. Psalm 44:3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand... And thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. By the way, the right hand is always the hand of power, and it's where the book is. It's where the Word of God is. Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. We just got done singing that. They heard the joyful sound, Jesus says. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That matches 1 Thessalonians 5. We are children of the day, and that day will not overtake us as a thief, because we walk in the light of God's countenance. Psalm 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. There it is right there. The things that you do in secret, God will always shine the light on. Now, God is merciful and God is good to you. when it starts, He will only shine the light and let you alone see it. And He does that to get you to repent. And if you won't, God's going to extend that light and He's going to let somebody else know about it. And He's going to bring them to you and they're going to say, "We need to talk." Amen? And God's doing that for your own good, trying to get you to repent. Amen? Don't turn your back on that. So let me make this easy for you. When is the best, as far as when God's going to shine a light on your secret sins, when's the best time to repent? When He first shows up. When He first nails you with it. When He first hits you in the head with that too before. That's the time to repent. Because the longer you wait, the more people He's going to drag in on it. You don't want that. Amen? You don't want that. Let's see here. Proverbs 16:15, "In the light of the king's countenance, His life and His favor is as a cloud." Look at there. The latter rain. His face is shining like the sun and He's coming in the clouds. Now take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 3. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's up there on the screen, but I made it way too small for you to be able to read. I want you to open your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I love seeing the sort of the duality of the Bible, the double witness of the Bible. God had Moses come down from Mount Sinai with His face shining like the sun. And then Jesus then comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration with His face shining like the sun. And the Bible's telling you that the light of the New Testament is far greater and more glorious than the light of the Old Testament. Consider this. On day four of creation, when He made the stars also, but He made two lights. One He called a greater light and one He called a lesser light. We know that the greater light would be the sun. Now, the other day, Lisa and I and Caleb was outside. Lisa and I was sitting on the porch swing. And it hadn't got quite dark yet, but we could see the moon. The sun was going down, and that's when you start seeing the moon. You get up some days, you get up early enough, you still may be able to see the moon kind of in the distance somewhere. You can see a little bit of it left. But as that sun comes up about 9, 10, 11 o'clock, where's that moon? It's still in the same place. You can't see it anymore. Why? Because the light of the sun has outshone the light of the moon. The greater light is greater than the lesser light. Now think of that as being, here's Moses comes down with one glory. The Old Testament, the law. Here's Jesus coming down with a greater glory. Which is going to outshine the other? The New Testament and Jesus' face is going to outshine the lesser light of Moses and his count. And that light was so bright, the Israelites couldn't take it. They said, "Moses, put a veil over your face. We cannot see. We cannot look at you because of that light." If that light was that powerful, how much more the light of Jesus' countenance in the New Testament? Isn't that neat? You see it right here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 9. "For the ministration of condemnation," and he's talking about the law. The law is the ministration of condemnation, because what does the law do? The law is good if you obey the law. But if you don't obey the law, it's not good. It condemns you. "So the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." Here's Moses with his face shining, and yet then here comes Jesus. And when Jesus is shining in His full strength, you can't even see Moses anymore. He's still there. It's just that the greater light has far outshone the lesser light. Let's see here. Verse 10, "For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth." And he's talking about the New Testament and Jesus. Verse 11, "For if that which is done away was glorious," of the Old Testament, "much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses." Now, what was it about Moses and his speech? He was a stammerer. Remember what God said in Isaiah 28, verse 11? "For with stammering lips," Moses, "and another tongue," Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the Greek language. another tongue. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That is the Bible in Hebrew, Moses, the Bible in Greek, the New Testament, Jesus. Isn't that cool? Okay? We use great plainness of speech. Because if I said to you, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, does anybody know what I just said? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How do you know that, Ryan? You speak Hebrew? Absolutely not. He's adamant about it. I won't speak Hebrew. His New Testament interpreted it for him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he knows that's Psalm 22. He knows it was fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He knows that because he has the greater light, the New Testament, shining in him. But those standing at the foot of the cross, the Jews under Moses, could not understand what was being said. They couldn't get it. They didn't. But we are using great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is to be abolished. Speaking of the law, the condemnation. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded. Who is in charge of blinding the minds of men? Satan is. He has blinded the minds of men. Okay? You were asking me, John, why don't people want to listen about what's coming down the road? The God of this world hath blinded their minds, and they can't see it. You can spell it out. You can show them the evidence. You can give them Scripture. And they won't see it. They don't want to hear it. Okay? That's why. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, what that's telling you is that one of these days, and you've heard me keep saying this, I keep saying, I love this. Right now, the Jews read the Torah, the Old Testament. They unroll that scroll, and that Hebrew man gets their that guy at their synagogue, and he'll read that text backwards, and he'll read those Hebrew words, and they call that's their service. That's what they do. And right now, they don't have a clue what all that's about. Because there's a veil over the Old Testament when they read it. They cannot see it for what it is. You and I, because we know Jesus and we know the types and the shadows and the prophecies, we can look in the Old Testament, we can go, look at there, that's a picture of Christ right there. See that rock over there with that water coming out? That rock is Christ. We know that now. That rock is Christ. We had that veil taken away. They don't. Yet. One of these days, the Jew, that veil is going to lift. And for the first time, the Jew is going to be able to see who really is behind that veil. It's not Moses. It's Jesus. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is why we're going to lose our liberties in this country, by the way. You jot that down. When we expel the Spirit of the Lord at our Sodomite pride festivals, amen? When we expel the Spirit of His mouth, which is the Bible, those liberties are gone. Okay? We're going to lose them. Anyway, the Spirit of the Lord is there's liberty. Verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there may be some may have a better explanation of that. Verse 18, you know what I think that means? I'm sure everybody in here has looked in a mirror. Okay? You look in a mirror. Have you ever noticed when you look in a mirror that if you were to raise your right hand, the guy in the mirror, what hand is he raising? Left hand. This is why it's hard to cut your own hair. Right? Because you're going, you're wanting to move this way and the mirror's moving that way. You got two mirrors going and you're going, I can't do this! Okay? The man in the mirror is our opposite in every way. We are sinful. He is sinless. We are mortal. He is immortality. We are corrupt. He is incorrupt. And look what it says. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, one of these days... By the way, the Bible says that the heavens above, Job says, are as a molten looking glass. The mirror is the heavens. You know what's going to happen? You and I are going to go step into that mirror like Alice in Wonderland. We're going to go step into that mirror. We're going to go through that thing. We're going to be like the man in the mirror. The opposite of what we are right now. Somebody say, isn't that cool? I love that. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that I have it there on the bottom of the screen. Romans 11:25. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You know what I think of when I see that phrase, the fullness of something? A watermelon. That's ripe. How do we tell? Give it a good thump. You can just tell by the feel and the sound. A good peach. Peach season's coming up, sweetie pie. We're not going to miss that one. We're going to go to Eckert's and we're going to pick peaches. And I'm going to be able to eat one. First time I went there, I think I ate 12. And wished I hadn't ate but eight. Okay? It was rough, okay? But I always reach in those trees and I feel those peaches. If they're too hard, I'm not touching them. When you feel them and it just dents barely in, that one's mine. That one is full. Okay? Watermelons, peaches, apples, green beans. Your green beans are coming in. Okay? We can tell then when they're full, right? Remember when Chris was suffering? Remember when she was full, ready to be delivered? We could tell that the fullness of her Gentile son was about ready to come in. I think that right now the peach is still hard. You get what I'm saying? I think we're living in a time right now, the peaches are there, but they're not ripe yet. God knows when this is going to happen. And I think when the fullness comes in, God's going to say, this is it right here. Okay? Just like you can, if you'll get up tomorrow morning at 4:30, okay, or 4 o'clock, they always say it's darkest before dawn, and I believe that. Okay? I've got up early, and I've seen that. You get up 4 o'clock in the morning, and that dark is just, it's almost like you can feel it. But you're going to start, if you look east, you're going to get that little glimpse of red right across the horizon. And you're going to know we're getting close. And I think we look out in this world and I think we can see that red on the horizon. Don't you? It ain't ready yet, but it's coming soon. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you my little theory about Revelation 10. I've said this before and I've studied it. I don't know how many times. I've even tried to prove myself wrong dozens of times. I saw this years ago. I still hang on it. I think Revelation 10, I think that mighty angel is Jesus. And I'll tell you why. He's coming down from heaven, number one. Number two, he's clothed with a cloud. We know Jesus is coming in the clouds. We know that he is. Okay? I can show you the swaddling clothes that Jesus was wrapped in is the swaddling band of the earth in Job, what is that, chapter 38, 39? God clothed the earth with the swaddling band of clouds. Okay? That King James Bible is neat. Okay? Number three, the rainbow was upon his head. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel's looking at God on the throne, the four angels and the firmament, and he sees on the throne one like unto the Son of Man. And over that throne was a rainbow, and he said, this is the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The rainbow is the glory of the Lord. Jesus said in John 17, Father, share with me the glory that we had before the world was. Who does God share the glory with? I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. I don't think this is just any other angel other than Jesus Christ who has God's own glory in the form of the rainbow over his head. There's a typology of this. Joseph received what from his father Jacob? A coat of what? He was clothed by his father with a rainbow. Okay? That's cool. That's deep stuff. Okay? And his face was as it were what? I think it's Jesus. I think the day star is arising. I think the Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in his wing. And his feet as pillars of fire. What does that tell you? It was one pillar of fire that led Israel through the darkness. That's why they only read the Old Testament. When he comes again, he's going to lead them with two pillars of fire, Old and New Testament together. Okay? And he had in his hand a little book open. That book came from Revelation 5. It was in the Father's right hand. And who was the only one who was worthy to open that book? And he did. He took the book in Revelation 5, and in Revelation 6, he starts popping the seals off, and now he's got it in his hand open. By the way, I don't do this much. I don't give you a Greek lesson very often, but I will tell you. The Greek word for where it says little book, you know what the Greek word there is? Biblia. It's where we get the word Bible from. He's got the Bible in his hand, people. Okay? And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. You know what that is? It's dominion. He's taken over. He cried with a loud voice as when a what? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, people. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now this messes up some people's eschatology, so that's why they don't say this is Jesus, because he can't be here. Because it messes their charts up and they would have to reprint all their charts. I have no charts. So I don't care where I see it. This is where I see it. I think this is Jesus. Okay? And by the way, you keep reading in Revelation 10. You know what happens? After the seven thunders uttered their voices, that it's going to be in the days of the seventh trumpet, which is the last trump, and he says, now the mystery of God is going to be finished. You study the mystery in the Bible and you'll see it. Okay? The mystery is Israel is in blindness right now, and when the mystery of God is finished, they're going to have the veil taken off and they're going to know who that is under. They're going to know who the Messiah is. And when the mystery of God is finished, we're gone. Because we're the ones holding the mystery, aren't we? We're the custodians of the mystery. And after God gives it to Israel, our job is done and we go home. Let's go home. Let's stand to our feet.